is good. God is good. Well, this year, as in the fast, this is what God had been really pondering upon me. I shared a little bit about it last week, and I really wanted to share about it. And I've titled it, The Ground Has Got to Be Plowed Before God Can Do Absolutely Anything. The ground has got to be plowed before God can do absolutely anything. This year, I want to really just, it's a simple reminder this morning. It's such a simple thing I'm going to bring to you. It's not going to have deep revelation, but I really believe that sometimes we spend so much of our energy in the coming months going, God, I can't see a miracle. God, I can't see a breakthrough. God, I can't see the fruit of my labor coming to pass yet. And sometimes we don't understand that there is actually a reason that God cannot release the blessing. Can someone say amen? Who knows that he knows exactly what he has? You know, I've said it over and over in our church, and I'm going to keep saying it. There is nowhere in the Bible where you will find a scripture that will support unanswered prayers. There's nowhere in the Word of God that it will teach you how to deal with unanswered prayers. Because God is not a God who has choice in answering or not answering. He says, whatever you bring to me, that shall I go for. He says, whatever you speak, that shall happen. He says, bring me the desires of your heart. Never did he say, just work out what the top priority is, and then the rest of them, I'll kind of swivel through them. It's not in the Bible. You can try to do it. But there is opportunities where we go, God, I don't understand. This is a desire of my heart. And there is chapters in our life where we don't get what God is doing something. And so I want to bring just one part of what might be happening in our world. As you could see up the top, there's just, it's this. It's the ground has got to be plowed before God can do anything. And the picture above is the same field, the exact same field, only months apart. The exact same field, only months apart. This morning I'm going to show you two scriptures that challenged me through the fast and has challenged me to keep this focus on 2016 that needs to happen if I truly desire to see growth and a harvest come in. Who knows that if you're not sowing? You know, people say, what you sow, you reap. Is that not correct? It's biblical. You know, I've learned to just live that as a principle because when I see people attack me in my workplace or in other areas of my life, I've just learned to go, you know what? I understand the principle of sowing and reaping. I hope you know what you're doing because what you are doing, you are going to reap at some point, at some place in your life. This is going to come back because it's a seed that you are setting into. And then for myself, I began to realize, what am I sowing with my words? Who knows that the most powerful thing you have is your words? It's the thing that you say. God says it's a prophetic thing. And he says, speak it out, say it out. He said to Ezekiel, speak to those dry bones. Tell it what to do. Speak to the valley. Speak to the desert. Speak to the wilderness. Tell it what it's got to do. Because I'm a God of the impossible, and I can make rivers flow where there's desert. Can someone say amen? He says it through his scripture. He said, I can take something that's dead, and I can cause it to be alive. I can cause something that has been buried to come back to growth. Can someone say amen? He's saying, so all I need is a vessel to let through that prison, that miracle to come through. And I began to read these two areas that God had spoken in the Old Testament that there were prophets and they were to Israel. And as I read them to you, I want you to understand that God was not being polite here. This is not God Almighty just being, oh, thus says the Lord that he shall bless and prosper you. This is the angry side of God. He is done with these people. He's over it. He's said this. And he said, listen, and this was the prophet speaking out. But he's basically saying, if you don't stop being lazy and sloppy and disobedient in the service of the Lord, I'm not playing games. A fire is going to come and it's going to consume. See, we often go, God, it's all got to be about the pretty stuff. And God says, there's got to be a point where you've got to meet me halfway. God was so serious with this that if his people did not change, that he was going to change the situation for them. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3-4. It says, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This was a prophetic word. And if he continues to say, and if you choose not to go and plow the ground, he says, I will bring and release an unconsuming fire. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says this, sow yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers of righteousness on you. The two things I want to show you in both scriptures in two different, complete different timelines is God spoke, it's time right now is to break up the unplowed ground. You've given me your harvest. You've given me your land. Say, God, this is it. This is my tithe. This is my desire. This is my studies. This is my workplace. This is the ground. And God says, I can't move in it because it's unplowed ground. And I was just, what does that actually mean? So the phrase unplowed in the New Living Translation, if you have a New King James, it actually says fallow ground. In the Hebrew, it means, it says, so break up your unplowed ground, which means break up the tillable, empty, bare, seedless, uncultivated, or fallow ground. God says, this is it. You want to see me? You want to see a harvest? You want to see the miracle? It's time to break up the ground. It's land that could be productive, but for whatever reason has not been broken up, tilled, or plowed, making it empty, bare, seedless, and it is now unusable. Then I read that word, unusable. That struck me. I thought, God, truly, is there parts of my life that is unusable by you? Is there areas of my life that because I haven't plowed the ground, if, as the scripture was saying, it's become unusable? The prophets are speaking the word of the Lord, are commanding. It's a command. You've got to do this. This has got to be, it's a spiritual phrase where God's saying, this is stuff that's deep within your heart. We want God to do something this year. We want God to change our situation. We want to go bigger and further than we've ever done. We want to move, but the land we are presenting him needs to be plowed. Because whatever he puts in it, it will die if it's not plowed. Whatever God puts in the ground, if we have not plowed it, we'll die. Because the only thing that will consume unplowed ground is thorns and weeds. So you can throw as much seed as you want in that, but the thing is, the thorns and the weeds are present in there. And eventually you know that the thorns and the weeds will choke the seed that you've been planting. So God says, you need to make the time. This is a time. And I completely believe that over the last 21 days or the last 14 days, that is what we've been spiritually doing. Can someone say amen? So how exciting is this that I'm bringing it down and you've actually already started the process by removing certain things out of your life by force, obviously, at this point. We've been taking this out by force out of our life where we've been removing it. But this is what God is speaking about. You're plowing the ground. And guess what? When there is plowing happening, what happens next? A sowing, and what comes once there's been sowing? A harvest. There's no other way that this can happen. There is a plowing, a sowing, and a harvest. And guess where we're at? Stage one. And very soon, some of you are going to start sowing. And before you know it, you're going to have two exact pictures. And one was a plowed ground, and one was one full of harvest. God wants you to do something, and you have got to turn around and go, this is it, God. But the prophets are saying two things here. An unplowed ground is unusable, and an unplowed ground can be unused. I want to talk about unusable ground this morning. The first passage was from Jeremiah. It says, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. In other words, there were seeds, they were sowing seeds, but they couldn't see a harvest coming. They were sowing, the people of God were sowing, but nothing was changing. And the evilness in that time was overpowering all the things of God. And it's God saying, I've got nowhere to plant, because unless you choose to bring to me an unplowed heart, I can't begin to sow anything. But the thing is, they were refusing to prepare the soil. So it was pointless going before God. How would you purposely so among thorns? No one would go in and seriously waste all their time and energy just plowing a ground knowing that there's thorns and weeds in through there. But we've allowed thorns to grow, and unless we begin to choose to make decisions to plow the ground, it's going to become ground that is unusable. If we don't go through and start to plow some areas of our life and start to begin to change some stuff, it is ground that is unusable. Thorns are things that hurt. They pierce you. The silly little things, they can be miniature on a beautiful stem of roses, and that little thing will pierce you so hard you'll forget how beautiful the rose are. Amen? Have you ever picked up a rose and the very first time you get a thorn, you drop it? You couldn't care less how beautiful it was. That little thing pricks you so hard. It can pierce your skin. It can make you bleed. That's what a thorn can do. Thorns are things that hurt, that pierce you, that bring a reaction out of you. And someone say amen. Can you see what thorns are? They bring a reaction out of you. When someone says something, do you react? When someone brings something towards you, do you react when that happens to you? Do you react when someone mentions a certain name in your life? Do you react when someone mentions something that happened in your past? Do you react? That's a thorn. And God's just saying, it's got to come out because I can't sow in it and it's becoming unusable ground. The seed that fell among the thorns, says Luke 8, stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked up by life's worries, the riches and the pleasures, and they do not mature. Let me just give you a list of things that the Hebrew began to explain as thorns. Thorns represents sexual temptation, lust, self-indulgence, pride, anger, selfishness, love of entertainment, recreation, addiction, greed, laziness. It was just to mention a few, is what the Hebrew listed as pieces of thorn. Each one of these chokes the word of God. Each one of these comes in and flattens what the word of God says upon our life. But we must begin to uproot them, and it's time to stop mollycoddling them and saying, you know what? God knows why I can't deal with this area. No, God says, no, I've got a word, a scripture over that area of your life, and that is greater than anything that anyone can throw at you. Can someone say amen? There is a scripture for the hurt, for the pain, for the anger, for the issue, for the temptation that you're dealing with. There is nothing that the word of God cannot come at it, and it's always going to be stronger and more powerful. You and I have to make a decision. It's no long term. We're not comforting this thing anymore. We're not making excuses for it. It's time to get it removed. Jeremiah 3:4, what we just read, break up the unplowed ground and do not sow it among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and circumcise your heart. Two lines of this prophetic word, and there's nothing but pain in it. He says, break up the plow. No, everybody knows that that is not pleasant. That is not comfortable. That is causing great pain. You are tearing and breaking up what has now become comfortable soil. You are going in and you are taking it out and you are breaking it, making it contrite and destroying what it has built up. So the first one is break up plowed ground. This is about the thorns. And now he says, circumcise. And I've read Joshua enough times to realize that circumcision is not pretty. Someone say amen, or the men just say it anyway. It's got nothing to do with what we know. Circumcision brings pain because it means it's got to be removed. When God said to Joshua, if these men that you want to take to the promised land are going to go there, they have got to surrender to you, allowing them to be circumcised. And oftentimes, I've often played my part in this role, and I thought, God, if you told me to go up to a group of men and say, there's the promised land, but before we're going to go, I'm going to circumcise you. I can imagine the face of the men going, excuse me, what do you think we're going to do? And I can imagine what it felt like as Joshua is just sharpening the knife, because the Bible talks about him getting a flint out and sharpening it. I think that Joshua took so long going, God, please tell me you've got a second plan coming up. Come on, come on. I'll just wait on you. I'll just keep sharpening this up. And I'm thinking that the men are in the tents going, please, God, have a different plan. Have a different plan. Ask us to do anything, but please. And just wanting to know. But God says, you've got to understand. I've got to break what happened in the wilderness for you to take what's got to come in, the prosperity. I've got to break it, and the only thing I can do is cause a circumcision to happen that is completely going to be removed. Because someone say amen. It's not something that can stay attached or just connected to you. It's got to be removed and be destroyed. It disconnects you completely from what you think you're not going to live without. And after I've said, showed you the scriptures where when Joshua circumcised, these men are in pain, in severe pain. There's grown men in here, and Joshua's had to circumcise in the most brutal way. And God is saying to his people of Israel, you got to learn, you have to circumcise yourself. And I believe God's saying, do it yourself before I come in and have to do it for you. When he says circumcised, it says you've got to cut away from certain things. Noah had to separate. When that bolt door is coming up, Noah doesn't know what is going to happen next. He doesn't know if what God's spoken is actually going to happen. He's stepping out in faith going, God, this feels like, I feel like a fool. I look like a fool. Everybody's laughing at me, but I'm going to draw up this drawbridge and I'm going to say, God, let your speaking be done and I to believe what you've said is shall happen. So he separates his family and himself. Daniel had to separate himself from the friends. Do you know when Daniel stood up and made that? There was another group of men of God with him, but Daniel is the only one who stood his ground. There was a time of separation. In the wilderness, there's a season of separation. Jehu, before he got the promise of becoming king, God said to him, you need to separate yourself from your friends. Esther had to leave her people for a time and go seek God. Abraham, Isaac, Paul, Peter, Timothy, they all had to make a decision that a time of circumcision has to come. None of them. We love to read their stories because they're such great men of God, but we refuse to realize that there is a portion of their story that it caused them to go, I have to allow God to start plowing this. And this is going to hurt in some places, but I know that God is circumcising me because where I'm going is greater than where I am right now. This year, God is calling you to leave behind what may feel hard, but you need to know that the mandate God is calling you to is going to require separation for you. How much are you willing to let go? How much can God break you determines how much you are actually going to grow. How much you are willing to let God break you will determine how much you are going to grow this year in 2016. You know that statement, you don't know what you're made of until you go through certain things. I believe if I told half of us certain things that we would go, I would never be able to get through that. But yet, God knows what we don't know. It's time to go deeper. Like I said at the beginning of the year, this year we've got to submerge. We've got to get into depths that we have never been before. Go deeper, go deeper, go further. The deeper we go, the further high we can go. Everyone knows that depending on the foundation that you're building will depend on what kind of structure you can build. You can want the most glamorous house, you can want the most extravagant house, but it all depends on the most... You know, when you're building a house, it feels like nothing's happening at that level. You go in and you're like, nothing's happening. But before even the cement is laid, there's ground that's got to be plowed up. They've got to remove anything that's made shake the cement that's going to be poured down. The thing is, that feels so tedious, but who knows that that is the only thing that is going to cause that house to stay where it is. And we're so quick to get past that moment. We're all about the building and the tiles and the kitchen and the bedrooms, and we're all about doing that. But we got to get back and go, you know what? This has got to be done well. It's got to be done right. Who knows that one little bubble in that little laying of down of cement can cause an entire mansion to crumble. We're ready to go deeper this year, further than we've ever been, so then God can take us further than we've ever seen. Who are you? Let me ask you this. Who are you when everything is gone? Who are you? If I take away your title as a mother, your title as a pastor, your title as a CEO, your title as a pastor, your title as a student, your title as a manager, as a professor, as a lecturer, as a lawyer, as an accountant, if I take that title away from you, if I take what you think you are, if I take that away from you, what will I see? When all this is gone, who are you? Do you know who you are once I remove all those titles from you? Who is, and this is not just an easy answer, but who is Mirella? When she's no longer pastoring and she's no longer a sister or a daughter to anything and she's no longer a childcare director, who am I? Because that is what God is building on. God is not building on my titles. God is not building on me because I'm a pastor or because I'm in child. God is not building. He's building on because of the core, because of who I am mating myself up to, because of the ground that I'm presenting before God. Prior to losing everything, Job was a father, a husband, a son, a wealthy man, a successful man, a very well-respected man. That's who he was. before God removed anything. But once God removed every title he had, and remember that Job said, what have I done, God? What have I done that all this attack is happening? He lost every title he'd ever worked for, everything he'd ever tried to gain. And he tried to gain building, prosperity, and things for his family, and he was wealthy, and the community loved him. And once that was all removed, and he was nothing, and then God circumcised him by removing him from his friend, then and only then do we see who Job is. He says then and only then at that last statement, he says, but even though I have been through all of this, even now I know that my Redeemer lives. Can someone say amen? And there is the foundation. And God says, now that you've got a job, it's got nothing to do with who you are in society. It's got nothing to do with where you've become from. That is the man that I want to rise up now. And then within 9 months, that man of God was restored a double portion of everything he ever owned. Can someone say amen? But there was a moment where he had to strip everything away, and that was a God. There was a God of unplowing the ground. What about Elisha? When he went up to Elijah and he says, I want to be your successor. I want the mantle that you carry. What did Elijah say? He said, you're wealthy. He understood you're an accountant. You're a great man of authority. You are someone in this community. But Elijah said to him, for what you want, you need to be willing to let go of everything. For what you're asking, you need to be willing to let go of everything, because then and only then will you know if you really want what you're asking for. He says, let me remove everything. Let me take you back to Bethel. Let me take you on this journey. Let me tell you, you've got to stay back. Let me go through this process. Let me take you back to your past. Let me take you back to a place that you were persecuted. Because if you can handle those places, if you can do the journey with me, if you can allow God to break you up and start to plow that ground, and only then will you know if what you really want is what you've asked for. We say, God, I want, or God, I need, God, I think I have to have. And God's saying, you have no clue of what you need and what you have than you think you need. Who are you when you're broken? Who are you when everything is going fine? Who are you when you're pushed to your very limits? Who are you when nobody's looking at you? Because once you work that out, you will know how strong that foundation that you're giving before God is. But once you've been stripped out of all, can I still trust you? Once you've been stripped out of it all, will you still be faithful? Once you've been stripped of it all, will you still be consistent? Will you still tithe? Because if you don't know who you are, then when the things are taken from you, if you don't understand the very core of you that you are, that is when the storm is going to break you. That is a storm that will break you this year. But see, at the first sign of a storm, you're not going to be able to handle it. But then God says you've got to understand those things that are in your life that are causing you not to break through with me and the word that God is trying to build inside of you and the strength that God is trying to put inside of you. If you don't understand that these things need to be removed, remove everything. Let me see who you are, because that is what I'm building a foundation on. Because the things that you see about yourself is what being plowed, dug deep, is what is making you unusable soil. You have to let God do some hard plowing. You've got to let God do some pruning, some churning, so that unusable soil will become moist ground, ready to receive what God has done. The word agriculture, I've explained this before, the word agriculture, which is the terminology used for the land, the word agri means land. The word cult means against natural order. It's taking something that cannot grow naturally and force it down into an environment that is unknown to bring out what it was called to produce. So every seed that you take, desiring to see a fruit from it, is exactly what God is, because you're a seed in his hand. Someone say amen. So he has you in the palm of his hand and he says, I'm going to plant you now, Morella, and it's not going to be easy. I'm going to put you down, go back to the, come, taking me somewhere that is where it cannot grow naturally. I'm going to put you in a dark place, but you've got to trust me in this. Because if I leave you in this environment, you can grow thus far. But if I let you get down deeper into this dark place, I'll let your roots grow further than you can ever have. And from there, you'll grow. and you'll be astonished at what I can do. It's taking something that cannot grow naturally and force it down into an environment that is unknown to bring out what it was actually called to produce. Taking it out of its natural environment and forcing it down into what feels unnatural and dark to produce and cause what is inside of it to come out. I know that this is not a pretty sermon, but I truly believe that this is where God has got our 2016. We will be reaping a harvest for the next 20, 30 years. And you know who's included in those 20, 30 years? The kids that have got to come into our church. The people that are leaving their country to come and serve in Australia for different purposes, going to university. They think they're coming here to study at the University of Newcastle, one of the greatest ones. What they don't know is God is coming to bring them in this church, to allow them to go into a place that feels unnatural and let Him plant them so they can grow deeper than they've ever been. Can someone say amen? I want this church to be a land that is plowed constantly. Being submerged into deep water, it's unnatural. You can only go so far with what we have. I don't care if you're the best swimmer or the best diver in the world. There's only a certain level you can go into the ocean without going being too prepared. If you prepare yourself, though, with some gear that allow you to continue breathing when the natural way of breathing is taken from you. There's gear that is set up for you to go see through the dark, murky water that you cannot see with your natural eyes. There's clothing that will regulate your body temperature so that when you get to that depth, you will not freeze. There's water equipment that will help you to transform yourself from land to water. But it all needs to be prepared. Who knows that once they dive, there's no point going, oh, I forgot my oxygen mask. Oh, I forgot the tank. Let me go back and get it. These are things where divers go, I'm going to go somewhere that it's unnatural to go with the body that I've been given. So I'm going to go get this, and I'm going to go get a mask, and I'm going to go get a tank, and I'm going to go get flippers, and I'm going to go get this. And this will allow me to go deeper than my natural body can take me. Am I making sense here, church? But there's got to be that preparation. If a diver gets there and says, God, can you please provide all these things that I need to know? God's got to have given it to you. It's sitting in your bedroom. It's sitting in your garage. It's sitting in the shop. Go get it and begin to prepare yourself. Then when you emerge yourself, then once you submerge yourself, then you're going to experience things that you'll never experience with your own natural eyes, with your own natural capability of breathing. Once you get down there, there's these things that are going to allow you to see certain things that you will have never seen with your natural eyes or with your natural capability of breathing. But the preparation of these things around you is now going to allow you to go to a depth that you've never been before. It has nothing to do with the way you feel. It's got nothing to do with it. I don't feel like I want to go to work every day, but I have to. Someone say amen. Don't make me feel bad. I don't always feel like coming to church. Sorry if that's disappointed everybody. There's certain Sundays I just, and you know what? I don't come just because I've got responsibilities. I come because of this. He says, put me first. And then all things will be added unto me. So I know that this principle works. So when I'm in my bed and I'm going, really, God, can't I just have this Sunday off? Or can't I just have, like, you know, a month off? And I'm not talking about that being, because that can go legalistic. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that, you know what, God? I'm going to put you first because whatever I've got before you is going to come through you. So I need to come to you. I'm not going to sit in my bed. I'm not going to sit in my house. And I'm going to sit there. And I know that people have said, oh, no, I can do the same thing I'm doing at church. I can do it at home. No, but here I'm connected to the house of God. And God's going to pour through here. And the anointing's coming through here. And I'm going to get a word of God in this place. And something that's going to set me alight for this week. And there's a principle behind coming. Like Dad was saying last Sunday, he was speaking about, you've got to be connected. You've got to be connected. It's got nothing to do with how I feel. It's about understanding the principles in my life. This year, we have got to go deeper ever before than we've ever understood before. This is the time where we're not going to understand anything. So your biggest in your face statement will be to Satan is when you start to prepare for something that's not happening right now. The biggest spit in your face, laugh out loud in your face, Satan, is when you are preparing something that is nowhere near existence right now. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But the Word of God tells me to speak, though, things that are not as though they are. So I have to get what I've given to God and start to say, well, I've now given him a harvest. I've given him a land that I'm plowing right now. I'm preparing for what God is going to do. That is the biggest throw in your face, Satan, you could ever do, by preparing into a season that is yet non-existent. And that's the only thing that Satan can do. He can say, well, what are you worried about? You've done this before. You've been praying for this before. You've fasted before. You've gone through this before. You've tried this before. I know. But what about if this is the year that I actually get it? Let's make sure that if this is the year, maybe the last time, every time I fasted before, the ground hadn't been completely prepared. Maybe that was only just seasons of preparation and God has been only giving me fruits of seasons. But God's saying, this is it. This is where I'm going to send the harvest. This is where you've got to be ready. You know, the reason that sometimes we can't contain the harvest? Because we're not ready. And God won't send a harvest into a place that can't contain it. If you give God a bucket, he'll fill the bucket. But if you give God a swimming pool, he'll fill the swimming pool. If you give God the ocean, guess what? He'll fill the ocean. So what are you giving him is deciding what he's going to do with the harvest that he's got prepared for you. He's saying, I got it, but don't come with me with an unplowed heart. He said, you've got to do some things for me to plow into and seed that, sow that seed in there. See, this Sunday morning, I'm sowing a seed in you. I've taken something from the word, I've expanded it, and I'm throwing it into the ground. Because as a church, we've been plowing our ground, we've been preparing it this whole season. And I know that just throwing in these little seeds, that God is saying, this is it. This is the season we will see a breakthrough. This is what is going to happen. And you got to begin to start to prepare for those things that are not as those things that are not as though they are. So what? It's a not, but it's now coming. Sunday 31. Sunday 31st of January 2016. It's not here, but it is coming. And when it comes, the ground is ready for it. It's ready for it. And God can plant anything his heart desires because he's ready for it. Who knows that God says that what you give me, that's what he can work with. If I have an apple, I've given this illustration before, if I give you an apple, that is the fruit of something else. That's a fruit of someone else in a faraway land, maybe Queensland or whatever they come from. That someone has plowed a ground. That someone has prepared a ground. That someone or some people threw a seed into a ground, that cultivated the ground, that plowed it, that threw a seed in. And then they went and they retook the harvest. And I am eating a harvest of someone who else who sowed. You know, Amos gives a prophetic word that God is bringing in a season, and I haven't got, I think it's Amos 1:9 or 9:1, one of the two. And he talks about where that the harvest will grow quicker than the plower can put his hand to the ground. So the plower is going to go and try to grab, but there's already a harvest to collect. By the time he's trying to plow the ground and prepare it, the prophetic time is that there's a season where you won't even have time to plow the ground because the harvest is coming. But see, that apple is going to be a benefit for me. If I choose to take that apple, if I choose to just get the nutrients from that apple, disregarding everything that happened prior to that, for me to receive that apple. But do you know that once I receive that apple, I can then begin to torture that apple by cutting it to its very core. I'm sure that if an apple had feelings, and I don't know if you're a vegan, you might believe that apples have feelings. I'm not 100% sure with all of that stuff, but if you think that an apple has feelings, after everything it's been through, and it's in your hands, and it knows it's good, and it knows it's at its full completion, I'm an apple. This is what I was sown to be. Now you're going to cut me in half? Are you for real? Not just a little piece. I'm going to cut you down the center. I'm going to tear through the middle of you. Again, I don't know if apples have feelings, but if they do, I'm sure they're not going to be jumping for joy. But I know that if I cut it to its core, what one thing gave me nutrients, I can take the seeds that are out of that and let it multiply over and over and over and over and over and over again. One apple carries about up to 10 seeds. One apple carries up to about 10 seeds. So I know that it actually has more potential than just feeding me. Can you hear what I'm saying? It has more potential than just satisfying me. It has a harvest inside of it. And how many times do you and I just pick up that harvest and throw it away? Who knows that if we stood before a farmer, he'd be like, don't throw that stuff away. That's a seed in there. And I can call a complete, what are apple farms called? I want to say orchards, but they're not. Orchards, but that's oranges. Or are they apples too? They're apples too. Okay, there you go. See? That's it. There we go. Okay. I know there's so many more farmers in this place, so that's why I'm being very mindful of the way I speak this morning. But you know, if you're standing with someone who knows, don't throw that core away. You've got no idea how much is still to come out of that one apple. Let me call the music team back up here this morning. We've got to get ready this year. This is where God wants to do it. I haven't even been able to touch on the second part. But it says, break up your unplowed ground because it's time to seek the Lord. In Hosea, he said, break up that unplowed ground because it's time to seek the Lord. This is it. What we've done for 21 days or 14 out of the 21 is we've just been removing ourselves and we've just been going. I'm hoping that most of us have been going before God while we've been torturing ourselves by removing stuff from our life. But the anointing that you're desiring right now is only going to come if we take a step back this Sunday and just allow God to do some movement inside of us. He constantly speaks about plowing and pruning and doing it. But I want you to stand to your feet. See, whatever God has got ready for you, it's inside of you. He's not going out and looking for it. It's inside of you. You are ready for this. You are capable. You are capable of producing the great harvest. But it's the sowing. And let me take this down a little bit. I've been talking a lot about fruits and harvest of the ground. But I see so many people on this time of the fast, and if they share it with me, not this year necessarily, but last year I had 5 or 6 girls that had been praying on the fast for just marriages and husbands. And I wish I kind of had this in my spirit to have spoken, because it's in your singleness that you need to start plowing the ground. Can someone say amen? It's in the singleness you've got to start plowing. The harvest comes in the marriage. And from what you sow in your singleness. Oh, Pastor Mel, you don't know. I can't be like you. I'm not so spiritual like you. I can't, you know, I need to be with someone. I need to be. All I know is that I've been taught this. Is that the more I honor God on this side, the more that God can honor me on that side. And you can do whatever God's calling you to do. If you've been praying for a godly husband or a godly wife, let me ask you, where is your sowing? Where is your sowing? Is God first? Is He first? Is He first? Is He first? Because who knows it? When you get married, if God's not first when you're single, who knows it? Put another person in that and add another couple of kids in that. If God isn't first at that point, He's never going to be first when there's a couple more in there. So you and I got to learn to put Him first. Or about your studies. Are you really sowing? Are you really going, God? And I've seen so many people testify from this platform every November, December before they leave, of how God just took them through the studies, miraculously gave them incredible things, but they were all serving. They were all serving. What happens when you serve? God starts to plow the ground. God starts to plow that ground. I've been doing just a study on prayer over the fast. And I don't know who this is for this morning. But someone in the fast has just been really, you're struggling to just believe that God's going to move it this year. And it was something that I was just, God has been just unfolding in my spirit, and I can't get the story of that widower that kept going before the judge. And the Bible talks about how this judge couldn't care less about her. But every day she would go before him. Every day she would go before him. And he says, I actually don't care for this woman. But he'd open his window, there she was. He'd open the door, there she was. And he ends up blessing her and giving what she needs purely because of her persistent heart. And that's a parable that Jesus was telling his disciples. And Jesus wasn't saying that to his disciples, just, you know what, something I want you to hear about. He's saying, because there's going to be seasons where you've got to learn to be persistent. Can someone say amen? And sometimes God is just not giving it because he's saying, you're still plowing it yet. Really, it's still just plowing ground season. But don't be disheartened. Keep coming. So I don't know who it is in church this morning. Become that persistent widower this morning. And you keep going before God and keep asking God and keep going before God and keep asking God. Keep that line of communication. God, I bring before you. God, I declare. God, I know it's coming. God, I know this is in your plans. God, this is the desire of my heart. You tell me that what I ask, that so shall I receive. You tell me what I bind, that you shall bind. Whatever I lose, you shall. God, I got every single day. Jesus said, you got to understand that you don't know what's up in front, but I do know it. This was only a couple of days, I think a couple of weeks before he was crucified. And the disciples had no idea. And Jesus said, you got to learn to be persistent. Just don't give up. And the thing is, the judge openly said, I don't care about you or whatever you want. But eventually he wore it down. And I'm saying we wear down God. But he wants to see, God, I'm not letting go of this promise. I'm not letting go of this promise. I'm going to be exactly like you. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to get Jacob's ladder and I'm going to climb and I'm going to climb and I'm going to climb until I see it happen. You know how I know prayer works? I was reading a study on this prayer. A university in America did a study on the power of prayer, a non-Christian university. I'll have the details if you want them later. And what they did is they took, out of the white pages, they took 160 names out of the white pages of this area, of this city. And they put 80 names on one page and they put 80 names on another page. And they took the one page of 80 names and they took it to a church. And they said, could you give this to your intercessory group? And could you ask them for an entire month, could you please get the intercessory group to pray just for these people? They were just names out of the... They had no connection to them. They were just named. And the intercessory group prayed for them every single day, interceded for them every single day. At the end of the month, the intercessory group brought back the list and the university called the 160 people. The complete group. The 80 that had been prayed for and the 80 people that had not been prayed for. The 80 people that had not been prayed for, they invited everybody to come to church. 160 people, they said, we'd love you to come to our church this Sunday. We just want to really pray for you. And out of the 80 people that had not been prayed for, not one of them came to church. Shock horror. Out of the 80 that the intercessor had prayed for, 64 of them came to church the following week. Out of 80, 64 of them, random names. Each one of them had a story. One said, I just lost my grandma and it's been making me think of death. So when you made that call, I just thought, you know what, it's time for me to find out a bit more. Another person said, you know what, I've just lost my job and I just didn't know how to get through, but you know what have I got to lose? Random people, just names, nobody, no connection. Because power of prayer works. Bottom line. And that has got nothing. These people weren't Christians. We don't know if they were Christians. They were not faithful people. We don't know anything about them. But because someone consistently prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, guess what happened? In the 1 month, there was a plowing of their heart. And you know, most of them gave an excuse saying, because of something bad that had happened, now they were ready to come back to church. Some were like, I've been wanting to come back to church, but I just feel uncomfortable. I've been thinking about coming to church. Oh, I used to go to church when I was a little girl, but you know what? And I just, you know, because there was a plowing of the ground. So when the seed was sown, that ground was ready to receive it. The power of prayer works. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because see, the next 7 days, on the last 7 days of your fast, you'll be like, oh, we're just about there. You know what? I'll finish now. Let me tell you, you're going to have every invitation to go out for dinner just this week. But you just got to understand, you're still just moments away. Just lift your hands if this word has just dropped into your spirit this morning. This is a personal moment between you and God. Just want you to receive that anointing this morning that this word brings. Holy Spirit, I just speak for those who have received from the word this morning. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, if there's thorns that are currently in their ground, could you please reveal it to us now? Just reveal it to them, Lord God. This is not about humiliating each other. This is about you and your children having a moment together. Speak right now, Holy Spirit.